He, meaning Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the church, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant to this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that it was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. And I'm stopping there. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Reads well, but for the visible and the invisible, for now and what was and what is to be, it just gets so worked up in wordage that it's hard to really stop and comprehend just exactly what Christ is and who he is. And what I'm desiring for all of us, that sure, we know the baby, we understand that, that's easy to understand, it's a baby after all. But we in our Christian walk, we have to advance to the man that was hung on that cross. And that's a hard thing to do. And so usually we just set it aside. We don't dwell on that too much. It's a painful, hard thing to do. And we trust, I assume that you're like me, tend to set it aside and not dwell on it too much. About a month ago, David called me and wanted to know if I would preach, and I have told him that my weekends are very dependent on the week before, because I don't think many of you all realize my average mileage that I drive in a week is 470 miles. That's the average. Some weeks I go over 800. Some weeks I go well below 400, but the average is that. And that, and dealing with people who have a life-threatening disease, it's just difficult. It just is. It wears you out. And so there are Sundays when, truthfully, I'll be truthful about this, I just want to sit at home and clear my mind so I can start the next week. That's not the way I should handle that. I should come here to church and be filled up. But you got to get dressed up. If you'd let me come in my pajamas and robe, we would have a deal. But I don't think that would work too good. Maybe I could slip up and go up in the balcony. Anyway, I told him yes. And then this week started. I thought, it dawned on me Sunday night as I was going to sleep, that the Sunday that I was supposed to preach was the next Sunday. I had it, I don't know where my mind or how it happened, I thought I had another Sunday, and then it was the Sunday I was supposed to preach. Now, I knew it was the 21st. I haven't slipped that far. But I hadn't put it in a chronological calendar-like setting. Well, one of the young women of the hospice company that I work with, she was going to have a reception last night. It never dawned on me to connect the two, that I would be at a reception and then have to preach the next morning. Those two things don't go well if you're going to preach not from a manuscript. Ask Fred Craddock, he'll tell you, if you're not going to preach from a manuscript, it's harder to do that than if to write things down and just read it. In fact, you can buy umpteen sermons on the internet. You don't even have to work at it. This is truly part of my sermon. I'm not that far off. Then my dear friend Terry Wood's mother died on Tuesday. And there had to be a visitation on Thursday night, and there had to be a funeral on Friday, of which Joyce Lawfield was there with us as we said goodbye to Ms. Woods. And then the week just kept stacking up until I thought I should have told that man no. I should have done my first, but that wasn't what was to be. I'd already picked out the scripture, and if you look at what's supposed to be on the lectionary, the Luke passage is about Mary and Martha. Anybody can preach on that. Anybody can come up with a talk about Mary and Martha and who was greater than the other and what they were doing. I picked Colossians, for heaven's sakes. One of the Apostle Paul's deepest theological presentations in the Bible. And it's the part of Colossians where he's talking about the great mystery of Jesus Christ. We can accept the man that walked among those disciples. We can accept the man who touched people and healed them. We can even accept the man who turned water into wine, but let's face it, that's kind of hard to... I know he did it, don't get me wrong. We can take him right up to the cross. We can even take it that he sacrificed for us, because it was the message that he was proclaiming that God sent him to proclaim that caused him to go to the cross. But there is where it gets so iffy. There is where usually on Maundy, Thursday, and leading up to Easter, that's when it kind of really pulls at you hard. And sometimes when that tug really gets you, you can dismiss it and just go back to thinking about Jesus as that man, that wondrous man that told us such wonderful things. Jesus is God. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen the works in me, you have seen the works in God. How many here today would be willing to stand up and say, when you see the works that I do, it's the works of God? That's who Jesus is. And we can't tiptoe around it. We have to accept it in its fullness. And only then can our churches become vibrant again. Only then can our nation truly be healed. And I'm not talking about political things. I'm talking about everything about our nation. Jesus, the great mystery of God. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son to us. Would you pray with me, please? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son that helped us understand who you are. And when his disciples saw him, they truly saw God. And when we think of him, we truly are thinking of God. Just redeem us, O Lord. Wash us clean as we start a new week. And help us to always have you walking with us. For once again, we give you honor, glory, and praise in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal to 430, our hymn of invitation. Reach out to Jesus, both verses.